You're listening to An Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to An Englishman in the Balkans, the podcast that takes you on a captivating journey into the heart of Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. Each episode, we delve into the rich history, vibrant culture, and hidden gems of this beautiful country. Through engaging conversations and personal anecdotes, we aim to bridge the gap between the Balkans and the rest of the world. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired, entertained, and connected.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
It's An Englishman in the Balkans podcast, and today is quite an unusual day here in Banja Luka because it's the 6th of November, and the 6th of November is normally cold, maybe a little bit of snow as well, but I'm looking up and there's my traditional blue skies. I say my traditional blue skies because I really love them. A little bit of cloud. Last night, somebody said in neighbouring Croatia and possibly here in Bosnia-Herzegovina, they saw the northern lights. Can you believe that? Well, we're outside. You'll know that. First time that we've done a podcast outside for a long, long time. And we're at a bar, coffee bar, in Maidan, a suburb of Banja Luka called Maratonac. It has a long story. It's a theme coffee bar about a very famous former Yugoslavian film. And I'll leave links to that below. But I'm joined today by somebody, and you know that I always talk to very interesting people, right? So today I'm talking to a super, uber interesting person, and full transparency and disclosure, I've known this lady for, and I checked it out today, 24 years. She's covering her eyes up in shock. Okay, so we're talking today to Dijana Tepsic. We're going to find out what it's like to be an entrepreneur. Before we get to talk to Dijana, I'm just going to do a very, very brief resume, and I'm going to leave something out, I know, and she'll correct me because I've got holes. I've got a cheese brain now, right? So as far as I'm aware, Dijana has been a radio presenter. She's somewhat of an expert in female rights. She's been a singer, a DJ, and she is an entrepreneur. Dijana, welcome to the podcast. Did I get that right?
Yes, David, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure, such a joy. We were trying to get together so many times for this podcast, and it's always something, but I think now the energy is right, the day is perfect. It's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm so happy to be your guest, and I'm so happy to talk to you.
I know quite a lot about you, but as we used to say back in our radio days together, our one blind listener knows nothing. We're here in Banja Luka today. Ladies or girls from Banja Luka are referred to as Banja Lučanka, but you weren't born in this city. So how did you come to be in this city?
Yeah, I love Banja Luka so much. It's not my city where I was born. Zagreb was city where I was born. But I also love to say I'm citizen of the world and love is my religion. So I'm citizen also of the planet Earth. So I came when I was 13 in Banja Luka. It was, during the war, and we didn't have so much choices when we were young. And now I'm trying to, to enjoy now more because we didn't have so many chances when we were teenagers. That's why usually on Netflix I love to watch teenage shows because, I always wanted to do so many things, but when I came to Banja Luka, it was war also in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So not a lot of choices for the young people in Bosnia and Herzegovina and ex-Yugoslavia in that time. But there were enthusiasts like you, so I started to volunteer in this very small radio station, and I learned how to be a journalist, how to be a radio DJ. I was just in my 16 years old. That was my first job. I was a volunteer, and I used to also learn from different people from UK and USA. So even the days were very hard, we still got some, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm so grateful that I learned something in those very hard times. But I love Banja Luka so much. And, you know, it was different kind of a destiny during the, you know, the conflict in ex-Yugoslavia. But there are many destinies like this, and we can all, you know, learn something from it and try to, you know, overcome it in some positive ways.
I know that you started off with this small radio station in Banja Luka, and then we met and you came to work on a project with me, and we had, I think, about 6 fun years together developing something that we thought, and other people say, it was successful. But radio aside, what made you, when that project finished, not look for something else media-wise? Because then you go off to university, you go to study, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong here with the phraseology, but women's rights. And also, when I was following you in those early days of being online, I thought, what's Diana getting up to now? And you're in Tokyo or somewhere like that. I can't remember where you're talking. What made you want to take that? I mean, that's a monumental change from media to women's rights.
Yeah, definitely. I was like 10 years in the media, and it was beautiful times at the Oxygen Radio. You remember, we traveled everywhere. I was not born in Bosnia, but I managed to get to know Bosnia and different beautiful cities, beautiful people, just because of the Oxygen. We were traveling so much. We had beautiful parties and live broadcasting. It was, when I'm doing the lectures for young people, I always tell that Oxygen Radio was like a media phenomenon. It really is. So I'm so grateful for that. And after that, when Oxygen, you know, finished, I was trying to get some fresh start, to change the energy, and I started to volunteer in the Gender Center. It's a, you know, governmental institution, and parallel I was like working, volunteering, and finishing gender studies in the Sarajevo. It was beautiful, the first generation of the gender studies in the Bosnian Herzegovina. I say it's like ex-Yugoslavia in the like a small piece, because everybody were from Macedonia, Serbia, Croatia. It was so beautiful, and Bosnia, of course. So I just want to gender issues, to women issues. It's when you start to, you know, with these issues, it's like somebody is putting you the glasses, like the gender glasses, and you never took it off. So if you are enthusiasts and activists, person who wants, you know, right for somebody, for minorities, any kind of minorities, you get to be more empathic and more vulnerable on these subjects. But you can also combine and media and gender studies, and like DJ or songs, because when I was in this gender topics, I used to write songs about violence against women, put it on the like a hip hop R&B twist. It was I think the first song in the region, Nisam Sama, I'm Not Alone. Još uvijek pamtim dane kad si bio tu, sad nema te. I kad sjediš pored mene, ja te ne prepoznajem. Nekad bila sam ti sve, nekad bila sam ti boginja. Gdje sve to nestalo, zašto postala sam robinja? From the angle of the victim, I wrote this song with my friends. They're like hip hoppers, and I always wanted to experiment. How can I connect different dots, different topics with all the passion and the love that I feel and the energy that I want to change, because I'm always optimistic.
You know, you were saying hip-hop there, and I had to smile, and I don't know if I've ever told you this, I don't think I have, but many, many years ago I said, this is a great friend of mine that I work with, and it was one of your songs, and it wasn't a hip-hop song, by the way.
Okay.
And the response was, I just looked and there was this huge pause. And the person said to me, if I just close my eyes and listen to it, he said, that is a black blues singer.
Thank you.
I mean, and I don't think I've ever told you that because you look quite shocked. But was it something that you just, you know, the singing, was it just something that came out of you, or did you have singing lessons or
no.
anything?
No, it came out. A few days ago, I was just, you know, I had 5 minutes spare and I also wrote a song. It just came out from me. I'm not like a, you know, musician that I all my life did just music. No, it was my, how do you say, like, it's a gift, but it's also the way that I channel my energy. Also, when I'm maybe alone, maybe I'm frustrated, maybe I'm sad, maybe I'm happy, I put it on the paper and I try to sing it. Nowadays, I'm not, spending much time, you know, singing, and it all needs time and energy and money and everything. But during the days, especially from 2008 to maybe 2015, I was a singer-songwriter, and everything that I felt, I put it on paper. If I want to dance, great, I'm dancing, and then I wrote Battle on the Dance Floor.
Let's keep this night in our memories. Repeat it again, let's recharge our batteries. It will be the battle on the dance floor. Put your hands up in the air and give me. I wanna dance all night, it feels so right. Come on and show me what you got. What are you waiting for? Give me more and more. It's a battle on dance floor. I wanna dance.
I imagined the most beautiful, like, I don't know, disco or something, and that people are dancing, competing, showing their talents. So also in that video, I wanted to show all the talents from Banja Luka, like somebody is, you know, driving a skateboard, somebody is graffiti artist. I wanted to include all of that in the video. Also, we all have like bad days, when we are maybe anxious, when we are maybe depressed, when we need to talk about mental health, when we are, you know, struggling with our own demons. And then I wrote song Survive. So, and yeah, I did it, everything I did it on English, because somehow the words came out in English. Sometimes it's on our local language. So I know it was in different times when we didn't have so many social media, but still, I think I left my, you know, footprint, how do you say?
Yeah, like your mark.
Impact, my mark.
You're listening to an Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to House Victoria, your home away from home, in the enchanting region of Banja Luka in northern Bosnia and Herzegovina. At House Victoria, we offer you a truly memorable and authentic experience. Immerse yourself in the local culture, connect with the community, and create lasting memories. Explore historical landmarks, indulge in delicious local cuisine, and venture off the beaten path. We are committed to sustainable tourism and ethical travel. Ready to embark on an unforgettable adventure? Book your stay today. Visit our website at holidayinbosnia.com or reach out to us directly on WhatsApp at 00387-66-657-916. We can't wait to welcome you to our apartment and share the wonders of this captivating region with you. Let us be your guides as you create memories that will last a lifetime. Choose House Victoria for your next getaway. Your adventure awaits.
What do you think now when you, I mean, in the region there are a lot of, let's say, regional hip-hoppers and regional rappers. Tamara's niece has been going on at me for over a year about this young man that came from Banja Luka. Nobody took any notice of him, so he goes off to Belgrade and now he's one of the big rappers in the Serbian language scene. But you know, in the States, where it all started from, you have to admit there's a lot of bad language in it. And although bad language can be included in the everyday language of people in this region, when it's public, people don't like it. So what do you feel about that? Is there a need for people to say the F word or the Serbo-Croatian equivalent of the F word? Is that necessary? I mean, you didn't, did you?
No, I didn't. But I understand the rap and the hip-hop culture and the history of it, you know, when it started in the 80s. It was some kind of a liberation and probably, I don't know, people wanted to share their feelings and revolutionary thoughts or struggles or whatever. So I think it is part of the expression. But I don't think that you can, you need to use it all the time, you know. It's, but also it's hard to do the, how do you say, like cutting the, yeah, cutting the words. Yeah, it's a specific thing, hip hop and the rap. But I think, especially here in the Balkans, we live in such a specific, you know, culture. When word on the F, it's every other word. So it's more of a, I don't know, expression that has so many meanings. It's not just like to say bad words to somebody or to wish somebody bad or something. It's like the, you know, the harder expression. So I don't know if I'm pro or against it or I don't know. It's a specific culture.
The girl that had to leave where she was born, we've found out about the Diana that gets into the media and becomes passionate about gender equality and about you as a singer. But I just want to go back one step. Mm-hmm. Gender equality, when you were studying it, hadn't incorporated the issues that we have today. LGBTQ, I think. Maybe there's another one on top of that now. I'm really out of touch. But these are very, very important world things, which I know that you're passionate about. What's your view, your personal view, of LGBTQ and whatever's on the end now here in the region? Because from my perspective, I think it's not progressive. Or have I got that wrong?
Yeah, as I said on the beginning, I'm always like optimistic, and I want for everybody to be, you know, happy, to that everybody can live freely their life, their identity, whatever it is. I mean, we have, I'm talking about the region. We have very good laws. We have very good strategies. We have very good everything in the theory and on the paper. It's very well done. But in the practice, I think the women issues, the women challenges and women rights, and also the gender rights and LGBTQ. So it's the gap between the, you know, the paperwork, the law, the normatives, between the real life. I think people are still struggling in the real life. So we have this, you know, gap that we need to fill. But I think raising awareness, talking about that, it's very strong impact of that issues in the culture, in the art, in the activism, in the media also. We can see some changes. It's not like something that we want to see. I mean, in the positive way, and everything like implemented, and people are living their life, no matter who they love, no matter what identity are they. I want everybody to, you know, live happy life without discrimination, without the stereotypes, without the prejudice. That would be, you know, such a great thing. But I think we still need some work to do, and it's depending on us also in our micro space, micro, like local, what are we thinking, how are we talking, do we transmit love and, you know, justice, or we transmit anger and frustration and hate and prejudice and stereotypes? We can all look at ourselves in our yards, what are we doing on that topic? So especially on the social networks, because now everybody is a media, now everybody is influencer. So we need to be, you know, socially responsible, and we need to think, how are we talking, and how are we impacting on the, you know, on the social level and in the society. So for me, everybody should, you know, these groups that we mentioned should have their own rights. They have it on paper, but in the real life, they should, you know, live beautiful life without hate, without prejudice, and without discrimination. I want to see, you know, society like that.
You're listening to an Englishman in the Balkans.
Hi, and dobrodošli. My name is Ivana, and I'm the heart and soul behind the Balkansis podcast, coming to you all the way from beautiful Australia. As a former refugee, I've walked the path of resilience and transformation. My mission, to empower Balkan women and men to heal, thrive, and grow through my coaching and mentoring programs. Join me on this incredible journey of self-discovery, community, and belonging. Together, we'll rewrite our stories and move forward towards a brighter future. Balkansis Podcast, your source of authentic stories, inspiration, and wisdom. Ready to make a difference? Dive in and follow us today.
You mentioned influencers just then, and you are one yourself. With a very dominant presence on all good social platforms. Now, that hasn't happened overnight. I know that. So a number of years ago, we were talking, and you had this idea of re-entering the media, and you wanted to start something that would be special, which you gave the name Play Media to. It's not a hidden secret that if you want to start a business in the region, it depends very much on the former Yugoslav republics, if I can call it that way, whether it's the state of Bosnia-Herzegovina or Serbia, whatever. None of them are the same. And it seemed to me at the time that you were exceedingly brave and courageous, because at that time, Bosnia-Herzegovina wasn't business friendly. I mean, I remember having deep discussions with Tamara about, is there no such thing as a freelancer? And she said, David, we don't have that sort of thing. And how would we be paid? Because PayPal doesn't work here and lots of other things. And it just seemed like hurdle after hurdle. So talk us through why Play Media and some of the hurdles you had to jump and maybe some of the doors you had to kick down.
Yeah, when I, with my sister and my friend, when I started our company, creative agency, Play Team, first of all, we did it because we recorded a regionally successful show, Rekreativno, with Dijana Tepšić, Show Koji Se Voli. Another step was to create a platform like a event, like a beautiful regional conference, Play Media Day, when we gather all the experts from all the region and all the world. And my vision was to position Banja Luka on the map of the cultural and creative industries in the region, because I thought every city has it in the region, and they all did so many work, and the Bosnia is still, you know, is still not in this train. So we needed to change things. Of course, we during the recording of the show, usually we were guests for interviews and to, I don't know, networking and to promotion of different conferences in the region. Then we were connecting and networking, and we met beautiful people who are doing this great things, great events and great conferences, educational networking in the region. So I wanted to do something like that in Banja Luka and to invite all of these people where we can exchange knowledge, ideas, doing some projects, networking, and talk about, I mean, on the Play Media Day, before years and years, we talked about podcasts, about freelancers, about, you know, digital marketing, about artificial intelligence, about many different topics, and we wanted to, you know, show people what are the trends, what are the advices, what are the main great ideas of the famous businessmen, businesswomen, entrepreneurs. So yeah, Play Media Day was such a huge and big and successful project, and we got to connect with the region and with the world and got to recognized. So in our industry, we are very appreciated and recognized. But you know, you also need your support in your own, you know, country. People need to recognize that as a really huge, huge thing. So yeah, most of the time we were, you know, alone and trying to figure out what are the best ways to present it as a beautiful package for people to feel so good, like they're somewhere in the world. I mean, when you see the branding, when you see people enjoying, when you see all of the program, it's really high, high quality. And that is also a very expensive event. So, you know, we were like doing this, you know, for 9 months, you're preparing one event like that. And in that period, you need to somehow neglect all of the other things that you do. And you need, you know, a lot of money, a lot of support. And, you know, we are just like a couple of enthusiasts, and it was very challenging. But for 7 years, we did it very successfully.
An Englishman in the Balkans podcast with David Bailey.
All those years ago, I remember going into this small, I think it was like a small house, behind somebody's big house. And inside there were such an enthusiastic group of young people, and that really did strike me, because my interactions with media before you set up your business, there were always older people. It always seemed to me that older people had to be there, you know, to get respect and to stop making mistakes. But you opted for just going for a completely young team. Two-part question. I know you should only have one, but two-part question here. Why was it important to get young people? And maybe more importantly, my second part of this question is, where the heck did you find them?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I am enthusiastic. I'm very optimistic. And I usually hang out with, you know, beautiful people, creative people, people with different ideas like you. So, yeah, so you can always find, if you match energies with these young people who have great ideas, who have some kind of a knowledge and skills, and then you can sharpen it a little bit. I mean, not like to transfer my own style to them. No, not like that. They have their own style. But to, you know, to catch up with the trends, with the greater knowledge, with the greater skills. But if you show will, then it's great to have a team of people. We had so many great times during the, you know, working on a Play Media Day, working with the Play team, with different clients, different ideas, different campaigns. So when you got projects and when you talk to these people, there is always some ideas. We always wanted to be different with the ideas, with the branding, with the projects, with the campaign. Especially, we are good at socially responsive campaigns. And I don't know, you found that people, you know somebody, somebody knows somebody, from mouth to mouth, and sometimes you just need to put an ad on the, you know, social networks, and somebody will, and then you can choose. And also there were great projects on the, it's like a fund for employment. It's an institution. They sometimes have these projects when you can invite people who are on this on their, you know, evidential statistics or whatever. And I remember we called one girl through their project, and she was like, "Is this a joke? Really? Somebody rang me and I got the job?" And I said, "Yes." because you are in the base where people are searching for jobs, we were, you know, asking for this list, and you got a job. So you can also do it like this. And also we collaborated with many different faculties and universities, and we ask, okay, do you have like students? Maybe somebody is open to come and to learn and maybe do the like a practical thing in the student work, especially in like digital media, especially on camera, especially on editing. If they want to learn, we can teach them. And usually maybe somebody can stay in the team if they want it, if we want it. So we, you know, it's a great synergy. Of course, now the times are a little bit different because a lot of young people are, you know, somebody's moving away or searching for other jobs. Maybe they're going through Europe. I don't know. So in all areas, the work power is the workforce is it's difficult to find it. Yeah. But in the when we were in the beginning, I'm lucky to connected with the beautiful people that are so talented and you know, wanted to work and wanted to share ideas and to learn something new. So, yeah, we were a great team.
I'm just going to do a sidestep here because you were mentioning about, you know, the pool of potential that you could possibly tap into has shrunk a bit with this pervasive thought with young people, especially in Banja Luka and the rest of the country as well, I know, is, you know, this vision of the grass is greener in the next field, normally Austria or Germany or whatever, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to become a millionaire and everything else, which is totally unrealistic. I mean, it is. What do you think needs to happen to keep the young people back here? I mean, I understand in a way, why would you want to be a taxi driver? I mean, the taxi drivers are important, but I get that. But when somebody's offering a job in the media that, you know, that young people decades ago would have given their arms for, you know, I want to do this, I want to be out with cameras, I want to be at events, and maybe one day I'll be backstage and I'll meet my hero or whatever. And you're looking for these people and today they're not there. What would media have to do now? I mean, that's a glamour industry. I mean, if people aren't coming to you,
yeah,
that says something about the way we're living at the moment, right?
Yeah, especially nowadays. I mean, young people have so many, I mean, opportunities, so many tools. We didn't have it. I mean, now you can Google it, you can go on YouTube, you can watch like a tutorial, you can create your own content, you can be your own media. I mean, there are different, you know, courses, knowledges, education, everything. But I think, in my opinion, you have one group of young people that are, you know, activists, enthusiasts, and it's not about money, it's about system. They don't like the system of the, you know, society where we live. They want different changes and everything. It's not about money. So you have this kind of a young people. They want to work, they want to learn, they want to try different things, they want to educate themselves all the time, different trends on the social media, on every tools that we have, on artificial intelligence tools, whatever. You have different other group also, with it, which is very lethargic, very, I don't know, they're like expecting something will fall from the sky, or I heard different sentences like, yeah, I want to, you know, finish school and become a director. You need to go certain steps to become from student to director. I mean, okay, you have a knowledge from the faculty, you have, I don't know, support and everything and maybe opportunities, but you have to have, you know, some kind of experience. You need to try different things. And they're like, you know, very, how do I say, lethargic, like, I don't know, they're expecting things, or, as you said, I want to go you know, across the border somewhere where the grass is greener in some more beautiful countries, and I can, you know, start my own life. It's okay maybe to try something, to learn something, to you know, travel around the world, to get to know yourself and also get to know different cultures. It's okay. But as my mother used to say, the roses are not blooming just in, you know, other countries. You go somewhere and everything is beautiful. Okay, it is, but also you will maybe struggle. You will not maybe do the job of your dreams. And it's okay. It's all part of the process and all part of the way. And in our society, the system doesn't see the potential of the young people also. That's another part of the problem. I mean, the young people are always like minority, I think. But they need to be the real force, because they have this enthusiastic, activistic, you know, young people. They can really be force, and they have wonderful ideas, but they also, you know, they need support. If you think about, you know, artists, when they finish school, where can they, you know, paint? If somebody doesn't give them, you know, okay, you can do it at home, you can put it on a TikTok, but it's, of course, it's up to you. But it's all also the systematic support. I mean, we have strong NGOs, we have, okay, strong media, but also, you know, the cities, municipalities, and the society also need to support these people in their own projects, ideas, because sometimes, even for a small budget, we have a little cute dog here, we have, what did I want to say? Yeah, if you give enthusiastic activist people even a small budget, maybe they can do such a huge, beautiful things. And we, I think, often underestimated that. So, yeah, the young people are a real force, but I'm very optimistic about them, but sometimes I'm sad if they are, like, just, you know, sitting and, you know, waiting something to fall from the sky and waiting to, you know, change their situation. Sometimes you have to, you know, try it by yourself, you have to grab it, and of course you can also ask for different support. You can meet different people, you can volunteer. I mean, people on our Play Media Day, wonderful young people, like 40 of them, somebody got a job, somebody met you, somebody met me, somebody, I don't know, connected the dots. You know, go. If the education is free, go to that conference, go to that seminar, try to find something on the internet, educate yourself. You know, you have to be a survivor.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.
Not only have young people have to worry about opportunities and getting things sorted in their own heads, which has happened for generations, right? Recently, I think we've most probably forgotten about it. How cruel is that? We have this pandemic, which smashes everybody, from issues within the family, some people sadly not making it through, other people that have now got long-term issues from it. The economy took such a whack, and in a country like Bosnia and Herzegovina that had an economy on its knees before the pandemic came, there's a struggle in that as well. People working from home, those that could. I mean, Tamara and I live in a village, and most people work from home anyway because they're sort of like small farmers. But nevertheless, everybody was affected. And as I say, some people didn't get through it with their lives. Other people lost their livelihoods, in other words, their businesses and their jobs. What was the impact of the pandemic for you and the team?
Yeah. First, it was like terrible. It was horrific. It was a real struggle, real problems, like a lot of the businesses also. We were in shock. We thought we will put the key in the, you know, in the door, lock it, and there's nothing to do. But as the time little bit, step by step passed, and we followed everything in the world and in different countries, and we... I mean, the main, as we can say, positive thing in this crisis and pandemic era was that we learned to adapt really soon. So we adapted the business, we adapted the working time, we adapted the way of, you know, of thinking, of balancing, of try to offer some other campaigns and projects, try to adapt the brand communication for our clients. It was a really hard thing to do because, you know, now you're thinking, oh, great, we have this beautiful, bright and bubbly, as you say, campaign. We never think about, you know, this hard times. And then it was a lot of work to do to prepare our clients, our brands, how to communicate. You still have your audience. You still have maybe your product on the shelf or somewhere in the this market space. So it was, but it was really, really hard. And we didn't know, okay, will we have another project, another campaigns? Will we have money for the salaries, for the bills, for the everything that you... It was really, especially for entrepreneurs, it was really hard times. But then when the time passes and you are trying some different solutions and you're trying to adapt with the world and regional marketplace, and we... You know, we survived. We are all survivors. I mean, you were focused on different things, how to survive with your, you know, your life, your body, your loved ones. Everything was in crisis, but still, always in the world there is some crisis. I mean, the pandemic was, you know, different kind of one. We were really not ready, but there is always like economic crisis, wars in the world. People need to get ready for changes because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Tomorrow, maybe there are some other rules, some other changes, some other adaptations. So what epidemic was really educated us that we all need to change on daily basis. Maybe you need to change the career. Maybe you need to change the ideas, your approach in business. You need to put priorities. I mean, okay, in that time, it's good for people to be healthy. That's the most important thing. And the other thing is to give them their salaries and because they need to, you know. And everything else is not important. Okay, you have, you know, your high level of priorities, you change them. But yeah, epidemic was a huge impact on our businesses, but it also brings some other stuff like working from home, like, you know, having video meetings, like having video calls, like, I don't know. I think we adapted very good.
Somebody is, we're next to a school, by the way, and somebody's just looked through and said, I think that's a grandfather. He's actually right.
No, but no. You know kids.
Yeah, but going back on topic, with the working in the creative industry and going back to when I was able to go and visit you where your team was working, it's one of those environments where collaboration and ideas really, really matter. When somebody is struggling doing a video edit, it's really, really cool when somebody who knows nothing about it just turns around out of the blue and says, go from left to right and change the color. And you go, what? And you do it, and it's a winner.
Yes.
With the pandemic, people were not together anymore. Was it difficult to remote the operation?
Yeah, at first it was like we are, you know, human beings. We are social beings. We need contact. We need, you know, live talking. We need to sit to have a cup of coffee, especially in this Balkan region. It's not just to have coffee to go. You know, our culture, it's we love to talk.
That's the word I've chafe. A little chafe. Bit of chafe, absolutely.
We need to chafe, have a chafe in our... You know, drinking coffee, it's not about the coffee, it's about the talking. We need to share our energy. It was difficult at the beginning, but if you have, you know, some kind of a plan, okay, once a week we will try to meet somewhere. Once a day we will have a video chat. We have this all different tools like Viber groups, like WhatsApp groups, like, social networks. And we can, you know, share different knowledges, ideas, advices, pictures, videos, you know, inspiration, whatever. It just, at the beginning it was hard, but nowadays there are a few very good benefits if you are like working from home. You have your own, you know, flexible time. We were always like, you don't have to do it like now. You don't have to do it like, you don't have to work from, I don't know, from 8 till 4 if you don't like it. The thing is, you need to finish the job. And if you are working from home, you can choose when. When do you feel all right? When do you walk your dog? When, you know, somebody is having kids, somebody is having, you know, having household, you need to do different stuff. But remote work is very, very good and very successful. If you have a smaller team, you can give them more freedom, you know, to think about in their own surroundings, and maybe they can contribute more. And of course, you can have, you know, meetings and coffees and everything else. But at the beginning of the pandemic, it was, you know, very hard. But adaptation and changes, that's the main thing. And we all, I mean, we survived it. We succeeded. It was tough at the beginning, but it was okay.
You're listening to an Englishman in the Balkans.
Welcome to House Victoria, your home away from home, in the enchanting region of Banja Luka in northern Bosnia and Herzegovina. At House Victoria, we offer you a truly memorable and authentic experience. Immerse yourself in the local culture, connect with the community, and create lasting memories. Explore historical landmarks, indulge in delicious local cuisine, and venture off the beaten path. We are committed to sustainable tourism and ethical travel. Ready to embark on an unforgettable adventure? Book your stay today. Visit our website at holidayinbosnia.com or reach out to us directly on WhatsApp at 00387-66657916. We can't wait to welcome you to our apartment and share the wonders of this captivating region with you. Let us be your guides as you create memories that will last a lifetime. Choose House Victoria for your next getaway. Your adventure awaits.
Not only do you succeed and come out of a pandemic and the business is still there,
yes,
the team is still there. As we come to one of the final questions now, let's stop. If you go to browser now, keep listening to the podcast, but if you go to the browser now and try type in ultra, ULTRA, .ba, ultra.ba, you're going to come to an online magazine, which I think is predominantly for ladies. So as an avid reader of it, I'm most probably I'm pretty unique. But Ultra is your product. Is it a company product or is it a passion project for you?
It's a passion project, definitely. And my sister and Bojan, our friend from Play Team, we were thinking about how many years we spent in the media. I mean, all the three of us were, you know, so many years in the media. And we wanted to have, after the show ended, Rekreativno with Diana Tepsic, we wanted to have our own media to create content, to put the inspiring stories that when you drink a coffee in the morning or tea, you want to, you know, there's so many bad news, so many horrific things, so many, you know, and when you start your day, we were imagining when you open our Ultra magazine, we want to, you know, inspire people. So there are astrology, fashion, cooking recipes, travel news, different kind of positive content. So it was also the project of the Play team, but also our own, you know, desires to create some lifestyle magazine, which is, you know, positive and which can present, you know, positive things, trend in the world's, inspiring stories, positive stories. So yeah, it's a really great project. And now I'm connecting it with the video also. And I'm also doing some short interviews. When I'm, you know, traveling, I always interview people and put it also on the Ultra magazine. So yeah, it's as you noticed, it is maybe more for ladies because of this fashion and everything. But you know, also men read it. Yeah, they read it. Yeah. We see it on the statistics.
Doing interviews wherever you are takes time. You need to edit it, and for people that go to ultra.ba, especially people who are from the diaspora, from the whole region. Go to see this. It is an immense, repository of information. It's really, really up to date. Is it you on your own doing this, or have you surely you must have a team? Because if you're on your own, you're walking on water.
No, of course not. We have a team. Somebody is, you know, writing articles. Sometimes I'm writing article when I'm inspired. When I was now in Turkey, I also did everything on my own. I recorded beautiful videos and, my sister edited, and it was like a beautiful story from different cities. So I also do that. And somebody is, you know, writing articles, somebody is doing the interview, somebody is doing recipes, somebody is finding new stories. And if it's something, you know, hot and new, even if it's midnight, we all have this, our internal like group, and we say, oh, this is like fresh, this is like awards, we are not sleeping tonight, we are doing this red carpet or whatever it is. We are trying to always be fresh, and doing our own content, especially if you go to Instagram, Ultra Magazine, and on TikTok, we have different kind of videos, because it's not like lifestyle, you know, magazines, online magazines, are not just like, you know, stories to read, pictures to see. It's the video content also. Now we have different tools and possibilities, and we all try to, you know, get to innovative, creative. And beside all of other stuff that we do in our Play Team agency, and like privately, I never know, like, before a couple of days, I was moderating one panel about women's rights. The day before that, I was recording podcasts with different female entrepreneurs. And a couple of days from now, I'm going to Sarajevo, Zagreb, Belgrade on different events. So, yeah, you never know. But if you always try to find some ideas and you have like some spare time, or you try to make it in your schedule, you can always create. We are all creators, but, you know, it depends. Are we aware of that?
You left one thing out.
What?
You're at the Eclectic Bar still DJing.
Yes, I was a DJ a few nights ago. Yeah.
Where did you find the time?
I don't know. I was like, I told you, like, it's all about how we see ourselves, how our energy is vibing. And I told to myself, I will do just the things that make me, you know, happy. I can, you know, I got the invitation from somebody, but I will see not just the time. Is that, you know, matching my energy. Is that, am I, you know, leaving an impact? Am I adding a value to myself and to that other group? So I thought that I will never be a DJ again, but the energy was right and I got beautiful invitation and I said to myself, yeah, I'm going to dance. And that's it. I'm just listening to myself and my, you know, my energy and my vibes.
From all those years ago as a radio presenter to now, a co-owner of a very, very successful business, a lady who is living the dream. And I say that because you say, I'm only going to do things that make me happy,
yeah.
Which I think is living the dream, right?
Yes.
Dreams don't come to an end. Well, yes, they do. I mean, you open your eyes in the morning, you go, what was that? We know that. But as we wrap this, what are the next dreams for Diana Tepsic?
Well, I always have my, you know, wishes and goals, and I also do the affirmations and everything. But, you know, like short-term goals or long-term goals.
Whatever suits you.
For now, I'm, you know, I'm enjoying myself and I appreciate everything that I've done and I'm looking forward for some new things and I'm always open to new things. And as I will quote Mel Robbins, I don't know if you follow her. She's amazing on social networks. Yeah, Tam do. She's amazing. And she said, well, you never know. If you want start your own business in when you are 50s, 60s, 70s, you want to, you know, start your own podcast, whatever it is, you can do it. I mean, you can do it. There is no obstacles. I mean, the obstacles we give to ourselves, it will never be the right time. You will never have the perfect amount of money. You will never, you know, nothing is, you know, in one line. There are always obstacles and difficulties, but I think you can do whatever you want. And I still think that I have, like, you know, I lived 300 lives, and I still have 300 lives to live. So I still have so many things that I want to do. Now I'm focused to be creator beside this job that I have and all the projects with the Play Team and Ultramedia. I am a content creator. I always think that I have a gift to talk to people, like you have a gift to talk to people. So from that, you never know what doors are opening. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I want to travel more and I want to record it. And in this 2023, so many different people and opportunities, you know, matched my energy. And who knows what will I still do? I'm open to receive new opportunities, new ideas, and new doors to open. That's why from this conversation today, I think we need to encourage people to do things they love. I know we have to pay bills. I know we have to have, you know, for this and this and this. But we will be so unhappy, so frustrated, and so sad if we don't find time to enjoy. Is it gardening? Is it walking with the dog? Is it, you know, this chafe thing with the coffee? Or pursuing your ideas, your work, your entrepreneurship, your podcasts, your, I don't know, digital content, whatever it is, start now, don't look back, and never stop.
Diana, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. This is how we're going to end it. You don't know what's coming. I hope you're going to handle it. Being a creative person, I have to tell you that my audience in the main are English speakers, but I have a sizable audience from the former Yugoslavia diaspora.
Wow.
Who are lurkers, right? Who are lurkers. So this is your 30 seconds to quickly do an ad or a promo off the hip in your language to people that are listening to this. tell them a little bit about Ultra, just a sentence or two in your language, and how they can get in touch with you if they wish to.
Thank you so much. Veliki pozdrav svima ko god da nas sluša bilo gdje u svijetu. Volim vas sve, šaljem mnogo ljubavi, poljubaca i pozdrava. Pratite Ultra magazin ultra.ba ili ga potražite na TikToku, Instagramu ili Facebooku. Ja sam tu također za sve vas. Možemo se družiti, možemo sarađivati. Potražite me na Instagramu Dijana Tepšić. And thank you, David, for doing this, and I was enjoying so much, and David and I, we're sending you so much love and positive energy wherever you are. Thank you for everything and huge hugs.
And that's a wrap for this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed finding out a little more about both Bosnia and Herzegovina and the wider Western Balkans. If you've enjoyed this journey as much as we enjoy bringing it to you, please take a moment to leave us a review and subscribe to our podcast. Your feedback helps us tremendously and makes a huge difference. Thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you would like to support us and the production of future episodes, then please consider maybe giving us a tip or becoming a member of our podcast family. The link to do that is in the show notes for this podcast. Thanks again for listening. We really do appreciate it.